money comes, money goes, and it can buy things that are really great and make things fun. And it can also really be an albatross, you know, that's heavy to carry.
You're listening to the Pilot Money Podcast, the show dedicated to guiding professional pilots towards a future of financial success and stability. Fly along with your host, Timothy P. Pope, as he provides financial planning insights and answers to your burning questions and dives into real-life stories from fellow pilots who share their successes and cautionary tales. The Pilot Money Podcast takes off now.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back and welcome aboard to this episode of the Pilot Money Podcast. My name is Timothy P. Pope, a certified financial planner specializing in the planning needs of the professional pilot. In today's conversation, we have a real treat for you. Fellow podcast host, captain at a major airline, interview prep expert, and all-around good guy, Sir Nick Fialka, joins us in today's conversation. We also have the opportunity to talk with Nick's better half, Anna Fialka, and I am sure that you're going to love her perspective. She brings a lot of value to the table. In fact, this was the only way that I would interview Nick as if Anna came along. So in today's conversation, we talk about the application of financial planning principles. In previous episodes, we've discussed the value of a pilot's career. We've discussed how to reduce your taxable liabilities if you have a side hustle. We've spent time exploring how real estate can help a professional pilot reduce their W-2 income if they do the short term. So we've talked a lot about concepts and strategies. And what I like about today's conversation is we talk about application. The real life, like what is happening day to day as we all, you know, just work towards implementing these strategies. So Nick and Anna were very gracious with their time. They're very transparent about their journey, you know, where they've been, what they've gone through, what they're doing now. And that idea that life is a journey and your financial planning is a journey, I think is important. Right? We're always making small tweaks along the way as we head towards the destination. And if we do it right, we're having fun as well. So with that, let's jump in to today's conversation with Nick and Anna. All right. Well, welcome aboard, ladies and gentlemen. And today we have a fantastic conversation. We've got two very special guests. I have been waiting to have this conversation for a long time. So joining us in the studio today is Nick Fialka, the host of Ready for Pushback, and also Anna Fialka, the unsung hero probably in the Fialka household, just making sure everything behind the scenes are working. So Nick and Anna, welcome.
Good morning.
What's up, Tim? It's awesome to see you, my man. This is so I know we've rescheduled like 25 times because I'm the worst. So thank you for being consistent and sticking with and listen, we even have a babysitter downstairs taking care of the baby. Good job.
You guys have moved a lot of things to make this happen. So we're excited to have you on the Pilot Money Podcast. So Anna, specifically, I have been waiting for about 2 years at least.
Oh boy.
To have this conversation.
No pressure.
Yes. So 2 years ago, episode 71 of the 21.5 show, you were on with a number of other pilot spouses, and you were just dropping a lot of knowledge.
Oh, boy.
And it was fantastic. And so I've been waiting for 2 years to pull this thread.
I'm just going to guess when you were 20, you know, in your 20s, and you guys probably met and got married, you probably didn't know much about what the path ahead was going to look like, right? It was kind of,
sure, you know.
And so I guess if I gave you a time machine now and you could go back and talk to your younger self as you're kind of signing up for this, what advice would you give to yourself or maybe somebody that's in a similar shoes, you know, with kind of long-term dreams of being at the airlines after military service? What would you say to somebody like that?
Save your money. start saving now. If you have time, if you have time on your side, save now, literally for 2 years worth of income.
Tell me about why you said that and what impacted you to have that response.
Oh my goodness. Well, I think right then we were towards the end, but I didn't know it was the end. We were towards the end of a very long stretch of trying to make it work. And, you know, I am a woman of faith, and I'm so thankful that the things that we need, we never went without. And when you're moving from truly a life of comfort and ease and picking a lot of things that you want, it's hard. That is hard to really come to the reality of wants and needs. And, you know, it's not just you, it's your whole family. And I'm thankful for that time for sure. But it was, I think I even mentioned then, like, you know, we were kind of counting on, okay, we can survive on this savings for max 2 years. And it ended up being four and a half, something like that. And whew, that end was hard. And I think with every big life transition that I've experienced, moving, marriage, kids, all of those things, changing a job, you know, there are so many unexpected things that come up. And you want to be able to deal. You want to be able to manage it, right? For instance, when we moved to this house where we are now, we were expecting, we kind of knew that the air conditioning was close to the end, but, you know, past inspection. Well, of course, the first week we lived here, it broke, really broke. And it was a $30,000 fix. And when you're talking $30,000 chunks, your money goes quick.
Yeah.
That time of it's not making enough money to live, really. It was hard. I was ready with that. I wish I had saved more, you know?
Yeah, me too.
So you saved. We were expecting an 18-month transition. It was closer to 4 years. So you were probably ahead of the curve for most because you did diligently save. But then you said, hey, I wish I would have saved more.
For the person that's never heard me, that only loves Tim and listens to this show, our story is basically this. I owned a business and I was doing really, really well. And we saved some money and I had multiple life factors that kind of came to the point where Anna walks up to me and says, we got to do something else. This isn't working. And so we decided to take the jump to go to the airlines. And this was in 2017-ish. So that is, I went to Envoy. I was making $35 an hour. And we were bringing home $1,400, $1,500 every 2 weeks-ish. And we have seven people that live in our household. And life happened. And we ended up staying there 4.5 years because of a deployment and COVID and this and that. We literally got to the point where people were buying groceries for us. Like, that is where we were. You know, if you listen to my show, you probably think things are going awesome and things are amazing. But the fact of the matter is, like, life is real and expenses are expenses and you can roll around our house. There's not a lot of luxury. It's all just like trying to manage people and provide the best you can as a father and a husband and a person that is, you know, designed to provide. It's really hard when you can't.
Yeah. So you guys, I mean, you've got the kiddos running around, right? It's what some call the messy middle.
It is.
Right? That's life. So the transition period for you guys was difficult. What were some of the decisions that you made during transition period to get through it? The financial decisions.
We sold my car.
Yeah, we sold a car. And Nick, I would say really kind of pre-kids, you were very into motorcycles.
Yep.
You own many.
I think we sold 5 motorcycles. It's probably too many.
And like, I think you kept a couple that were really special to you, but we didn't insure them. We didn't took them off the road, basically. And
they're still not insured. They're still in the garage waiting for.
Yeah. I mean, really, we're kind of new. We're like newly in the phase of like
not being broke every month.
Positive income. So we're at a stage where we're currently trying to build savings back up. Frankly, I think it's harder to have money and not spend it than to not have money, because pick your battles. But I mean, it's a greater exercise in self-control for sure to have a pot of money and you say, okay, we're only going to use less than half of this so that when we need another air conditioner, when we need another car, when we, you know, that's harder because, you know, when we started making money again, there's so many things that were on the list would be really nice to have. And they were almost borderline needs. But, you know, I mean, we kind of started spending way too much. Like when we started getting a paycheck again, we started spending way too much and we had to sit down and say, okay, like we can't keep going, right?
Yeah. We don't do credit cards, and we didn't do credit cards until we made our last move and we were like running out, and we got a credit card to cover, to be like a relief valve that could cover us. And that is like the only time in our marriage where we've ever had that. And now I'm a captain in a major airline, and that's a lot of money. That is so much money. And so now we get paid every 2 weeks. The first check is a regular check that is, that just covers half of your flight time for the previous month. And the second check is the different. If you have a 62-hour line or a 65-hour line or whatever, they're going to pay you 30-something hours in the first check. And then if you actually flew more than that, or you credited more than that, they're going to pay you that extra money. So the second check in the month is usually the bigger check. And so we are at that point where we have a list of things, of our wants, right? And the things that we need. And then really the things we need are keep the kids in school, keep them fed, and keep the bills paid and save for the future. That's basically what it boils down to. And the other day, Anna picked up a bill for one of our life insurances. And she says, I think we're saving too much money. She literally said that. And I said, baby, we are not saving too much money. We are not saving enough. We got to keep this train moving. We're going to keep it going. It's hard to tell yourself no. And we had this conversation 2 weeks ago about wanting to do some kind of a little home project, something we haven't done anything. And it was basically a hostage negotiation, right? And we decided to put wallpaper on the foyer as our one thing that we're going to do before we build our, say, like everything back to the top where it was. And that was our, like, that was me just finally relenting. And,
you know, okay, remember how Dave Ramsey talks about like have your fight before you spend the money? I will say that one of the golden things that has saved our marriage is that we really do operate under like, okay, if we're going to spend a chunk of money, you know, we're going to agree. And I think that is such an act of love for that wallpaper to be up. And I really appreciate it.
Everybody else is like, wallpaper? What? And that's how I feel too, y'all. I feel the same way. I'm like, whatever. I want to say this because I feel like the person listening to the show that's getting into the airline world that might have be in my shoes right now is yawning and rolling their eyes because Envoy pays $112 an hour year one, and because there's a $200,000 signing bonus, and because there are retention bonuses to Flow that are over 200 grand. There's money everywhere right now. And I will tell you, haste, my friend, take haste, because first off, that money is there until it's not. If you are just coming over from the 21.5 show where I was on a couple weeks ago and we talked about the pilot pay, the money, the big dollars that pilots are getting paid at the regionals right now are not contractually negotiated. There is a contractually negotiated amount that was negotiated in like 2018 or 19 for most places, más o menos, but you are these $100+ an hour things and these bonuses for line check airmen and on the sim instructors and all that. That's all a letter of agreement. And a letter of agreement is a straight up piece of paper that starts on day one, ends on day 180. And the company can choose at its own discretion whether it wants to renew that or not. And at some point in the near future, bro, they are going to stop doing that. And we're going to be moving our way. I don't think we're going to go every way back there, but I think we're going to start sliding back and things are going to start drying up. And so this is, as you're like, hey, there's two old people on this thing talking about the past. This is the big threat, because if you jump into this thinking it's going to be easy and all of a sudden somebody punches you in the face, that is the biggest threat. Because then what? What do you do then when you have a $4,000 mortgage? What do you do then when the kids are in private school? What do you do then when you have all the money going into your 401k and there's none left? What do you do, bud? And you have to be ready for that. Call Tim Pope.
I like that you drew that picture. I like that. But I think what you guys are talking about is the behaviors. And that's what I want to highlight, because it's mastering the small things that are going to help people see tremendous success. And so you guys have demonstrated the behavior when times were lean. I'm going to look here at my note. Anna quoted on the 21.5 show, she said, she believes that it's a form of self-respect to only buy what you can afford. We live in a society where it's hard to say no. And that is a mindset. That's a behavior. Now, she also said, hey, I think it was easier when I was broke. How many times have I heard that? Because it takes a different self-discipline muscle,
right?
A different self-control muscle when you have the resources, but you say, hey, you know what? As a family, we've got a plan. We're not going to spend all this in one place. And my dad said, when I was a young guy earning, he'd say, hey, don't spend it all in one spot, right? You know, so the same thing, the numbers just get bigger, but the behaviors and the exercises are the same. Now, when we talked about, you had a business, you did a lot of stuff, okay? Military pilot, you were in consulting, you
like Forrest
you
Gump.
Know, you had an RV park, right? A successful RV park. And then you finally went to the regionals. When you were thinking about making that transition, what were the things that you considered? What were the analysis that you ran? Because I was listening to Anna and she said, you know, she's more of a, hey, that sounds good, let's do it, right? But you might be more, you know what, I want to understand what I'm getting into. So what kind of analysis did you run to say, hey, we're going to the airlines?
So first, I want to say, to circle back to the first part of your statement, we spent $400 or $500 on wallpaper, but we did not spend $70,000 on the Suburban that we really wanted. And instead, we spent $2,200 on our 20-year-old minivan that has 250,000 miles on it. And that's what we decided to do. Anyway, what are the calculations I made? What were the things that I thought about? Thing number one is that I started gathering information, because in 2017, I had zero idea about the airlines. I had nothing. And so I started reading on those forums and immediately found out that was toxic and terrible. The next thing I did after I dumped that is I started calling people. I was fortunate, being a Navy pilot, even though I was a helicopter guy, I have run into a lot of people in the world that are airline pilots that fly for lots of different airlines. And I would talk to them and I'd be like, what's your paycheck look like? How much money are you making? What does this look like? What does your future look like? My first day of flight school in the Navy was on September 11, 2001. And so my experience was this 10 years of torture that these guys went through. And I saw them in the squadrons that were reservists and furloughed and trying to eke out a living and doing their thing. That was my benchmark. But then as I started talking to people and finding out what kind of income they were making and kind of the future of it, as well as how much time off do you have? When I owned the RV park, Five Flags RV Park, home of the Happy Camper, we lived there. We lived in a mobile home on the RV park and we made a ton of money, but I also worked my tail off, man. 7 days a week, I was at that park with very few exceptions.
When you were working another job too.
I did. I was working as a consultant so I could keep us having insurance and stuff like that. And so I was working with the Department of Defense. And so I would be gone for 8 hours working. I would come home and then everybody in the RV park would start coming in on their overnights and stuff like that. Everybody's there on vacation. I'm spending tons and tons of my time making sure everybody's settled, because I feel like customer service is the most important part of a business like that. And so Anna's in the house just doing the things with the family, toiling away, making dinner, getting things ready. And so there was nonstop. There was no gap. And so that was probably the biggest thing, was the opportunity to kind of control your life a little bit more and have a schedule. Right now, this month, I have 17 days off, I think, and maybe 18 even. And I'm in the middle of a 2-week stretch right now of just not working. And it's awesome, even though I'm sick. I knew that we had our savings account And I knew that it had some money in there, but it needed to be much bigger, which is why I sold the RV park. And that is literally the thing that floated us, as we have a Google spreadsheet that is our budget. And we have one for each place we've lived. And it's funny because we can go back and see how our expenses have really grown. And it goes from a couple thousand a month to $10,000 a month and more. So, and it's tricky to, you know, you said messy middle. Yeah, you have to give yourself a little bit of grace there too. My messy middle is further along because we're in our 40s and we're in the messy middle. So if you're in your 30s and you're in your messy middle, your potential earnings and the future earnings are much greater. And so it just is what it is. So I decided we're never going to be billionaires, but at least we could be hundredaires. And that's it. You know, we just, at some point, you go do something that you really love. If Anna wasn't on board, like, there's no way. There's no way. If she was resented me, and I see that, man, I see that in so many couples where the one that flies is leaning forward on it, and the one that doesn't resents having to be home, whether it's a guy or a gal. And it just is. It's relatively prevalent in this community, which is why everybody has that joke about having three ex-wives and stuff like that. Like, it's true. So profit sharing checks showing up and going to buy a boat and be gone and all those things. It's real. I see it. It's crazy.
Yeah. So it sounds like some of your big considerations were you got smart on what to expect in the industry. You understood what the pay was going to be like. And that was 2017. So that was current, all of this, this cycle's contracts, right? And you determined that, hey, we could be okay with that. You also took a look at your savings and that needed to be bolstered. So you sold some assets that you had. And then you talked about your budget. So you were really keen on the cash flow side of the house. Quick question, you didn't mention it. Did you do any retirement projection calculations or anything like that?
Everybody's going to roll their eyes, but I have money coming from the VA because of some disability. I have my Navy retirement. I just retired a few weeks ago from the U.S. Navy. And so when I turn 57, I will start drawing that down. So I'll have, I want to say somewhere around $7,000-$8,000 a month just coming in. I know that's where I was. And so the retirement portion, I talked to my advisor about where I needed to go and how I needed to do it. I had already had a few $100,000 in my 401k. And so the idea was you need every dollar to survive. I didn't, like, at Envoy, I put no money. I have nothing for my 401k at Envoy. They gave a 6% match. I put 0% in. And it was hard for me to do. But now my airline, I think it's 17%, not even a match, just straight up guaranteed contribution. And that's a big, Lord have mercy, man. In the first year at that company, in the 401k, I made more than I did total for Envoy as a regional pilot. So it was basically a leap of faith to jump from, I didn't look at the retirement. I didn't put anything toward it because we needed every dollar and we were in a growing family. And it was, when I tell you people were buying us groceries, like, that, hand of God, that is what happened.
You make a great point there because, and this is a future conversation that we're scheduled to have, actually, is why the military pilot may not be as far behind the eight ball as they expect. So we're going to unpack some of that. So you both mentioned it. You mentioned the Google budget spreadsheets. And in previous conversations, I've heard you mention the budget meetings. You also mentioned have your fights before the money is spent.
So we like to put a bunch of glasses of wine out.
What I hear is a couple who approaches their finances together. And that's what I hear as a financial planner. So tell me how you guys approach the finances.
Needs first, right? Like, what have we committed to? What are we kind of on the hook to pay for? And then everything else. I mean, truly it is sort of like a fight for what you want, you know, like, not fighting, but like,
it's a long discussion.
It's a long discussion. And okay, I will say, I really dread these meetings. Okay. But in a positive light, I will say it is a chance to share your heart with each other and to be generous with each other and to say the hard things that have to be said to a person sometimes of like, you know what? We're not ready. We're not ready for you to get that motorcycle out. We're not there.
I did buy a battery for one of them. That's about as far as we've gotten.
And
Baby steps.
That's right. But also, like, the wallpaper thing, I mean, I feel like this is going to live in infamy in our family, but...
It's beautiful when you walk into... Everybody that listens is invited to come over to my house to see this wallpaper.
It looks so homey and good. It looks great. Anyway, preface. Okay, if you really, really don't want this, okay, and then I, like, talk for 10 minutes about the goods, right? Trying to convince... But it's a chance for Nick to hear what is so important. Like, I don't really ask for a lot. Do I? Do I?
You just said, maybe I should dye my hair. All I thought was like, that's $120.
I know. We don't do that anymore. Anyway, my point is, what we do is just basically required things. And then, okay, you have this much money. I have this much money. Our family has this much money. And... if you hate budget meetings as much as I do, then I really just encourage you to think about, you know, let this be a chance for you guys to discover about each other what is so important, because that tells you who that person is, right?
How often are your budget meetings?
It'd be great if they were once a month.
It'd be great.
We usually do it when the kids are in bed, and that is the hardest part, is like getting the kids in bed, because they go from 11, who can... he can manage himself, down to one. And that, by the time everybody's said and done, it's exhausting. And so we often find ourselves kind of kicking it down the road a few days when we decide to have one. But here's what we do. We look at our mortgage. We look at our utilities. We look at our kids go to church school. So we look at that and how much we donate. And those are kind of our main buckets, because my retirement savings all comes out of the company ahead of time, right? And so everything's kind of pre-allocated. And then we look at the excess, and then we look at what we've been spending the month prior. And honestly, a lot of it goes to eating out at restaurants. And then me on the road, I used to just eat like canned tuna in my room when I was at the regional. That's what I did every single night for like 4.5 years. And I was like way more fit than when I go out now and buy the FO dinner and stuff like that. But it's kind of what you got to do. So it's, you know, those are things. We had to just register our vehicles in this new town we're living in.
Yeah. I mean, really, we are still paying the, like, all the things when you move.
Yeah. That new air conditioning, $30,000, like, we didn't have that money. I had to pull it out of my savings. It was not fun. That was the first time that's ever happened. It was like, we got to the very, very end. Well, I'll tell you what, guys, if you're listening, you're thinking about buying a house and all that stuff. That's the hardest thing right now, is the fact that you're going to spend $600,000, $700,000, $800,000, $900,000 for a house that's worth $200,000 or $300,000. And that's the hard part, is taking that leap. And all of a sudden you've got a big mortgage payment, and then you have insurance associated with that as well. That, man, that takes so much money so fast. It didn't used to be like that. And so that's tough.
That is tough. And boys and girls, that's inflation.
Yeah, man.
So inflation, and then maybe some bubbles there. There's a couple more things that I want to talk to you guys about, because this has been great. And I think this, as a certified financial planner and a podcast host, I can come on and I can talk about all the theory and how the theory meets, you know, what you guys should be doing and what this ratio and this kind of account and so on and so forth. But then what I think people really like to hear is their peers going through it and like, how is this family addressing this? How do they think about that? So we're all familiar with more money, more problems, right? I like to say, as a planner, I like to say more money, different problems.
I thought it was Mo.
It is Mo.
Okay. Just want to clarify.
We've talked about your resume, Nick, all the places that you've been, right? Now you're at your forever home.
I hope.
You've upgraded to captain.
Listen, there's a new anxiety. The new anxiety is like keeping your job. Like, the new one is like passing the tests and being good and always being able to provide. Cause I was always on my way somewhere, and now I'm there, and it's hard.
You're going to crush it. You're going to be fine. But so when we think about stability in your life, and we think about job stability, we think about earnings, right? What does this mean financially for your family?
Here's what I think. I think that if you can sit down with your advisor and come up, and you need to know your number and get your number sorted. And how much, you know, what is the trajectory? How much should you be putting aside for that? And then whatever process you use to fund your emergency fund and do the things and do the this and do the that, when all of that's said and done, which you should do often, you get to this point where all of a sudden there's a couple thousand dollars in the bank account, and then there's a couple thousand more. And at the end of the month. And that to me, like that piece of man, like there's just a little bit left. I'm not watching my watch for when the first is and when the 15th is. That's really like the financial freedom part of it. And you can decide, do you pay off your mortgage or do you not? Do you have a 7 or 8% rate or do you have a 2.25% rate? How quickly do you pay off your student loans? I talked to a lot of those guys and gals that went to Emory Riddle or went to UND or went to wherever, and they've got 200, 250 that they've got to pay down. And what are your interest rates and how do you do all that? And so you get the job, but then you don't feel the effects of the income for a while. It's a little delayed because you got some catching up to do. That's certainly how I feel, is that we don't have any school debt, but I'm also 45 years old, right? I've already paid that off. I don't have this or that. I do have the mortgage. We don't have car notes because our newest car is from 2012. And our oldest one's from 1968. And so that gives us a little bit of buffer. But I mean, you should see how much the Costco bill is, you know?
Well, and I would say, I think our goal for our family is to live, I want to say simply, but both of us like fine things in different categories. And so it makes it really hard. You know, Nick is a vehicle lover. And so like, we want to live simply. I used to teach kids that were upper middle class, you know, and it was so obvious to me when families were extravagant with their kids and kids had no idea the value of money. And the families who, I have heard of other people doing this since then, but this is the first time that I heard of a family doing what they called like the family economy and their kids. Like I taught high school, they had to do minimum work within the family and their parents paid them. And they determined what they did with that money. Their parents, by high school, and it started small, but by high school, their parents didn't buy them shampoo, didn't buy them clothing, didn't buy them anything. Like they managed it. And it was funny, right? Because there was a whole family. And so you'd hear of like, oh, I'm not going to use their names, but brother didn't save enough money to buy shampoo, so he's been using mine. And like, you know, and that's funny. That's a sweet 15-year-old, 16-year-old mistake. And there's a net, right? Like we want for our kids to be making those mistakes at home. Or like, I didn't have enough money to buy gas and I'm stuck on the side of the road now. Can you help? Like, you know, to have those mistakes instead of, oh my gosh, I got a credit card and now I have $5,000 I have to pay back. And I can't make that as an 18-year-old. I can't make $5,000 and get out from under this. Help. You know, like we don't want that for them. We want them to learn, like you were saying, that delayed gratification and to learn, you know, money comes, money goes, and it can buy things that are really great and make things fun. And it can also really be an albatross, you know, that's heavy to carry. So I think we've talked about that. We want to give our kids, of course, there's this tension as a parent, right? You want to give your kids everything and anything, but what is best for them? That's the question.
You guys both brought up some really good points, right? So I mean, thinking about, hey, you're at your forever home. What is this stability going to mean financially to your family? I like how Nick said, hey, you don't feel the effects right away. And so if we take a step back, that stability and of great earnings for your financial future, it might mean nothing if you don't have the right behaviors, which you guys talked about. You guys talked about how you had the behaviors all throughout. So now you finally, opportunity meets the income and bam, you know what to do with it. You're going to see it down the road. And oh, you brought out, I'm just thinking like, man, that is such an awesome idea. I hope the one child sold the shampoo at a premium just because that's how it works, right? Sometimes. So that really cool to teach the kiddos experiential learning.
Yeah.
I have two more questions. Anna, your question.
Okay.
So we started the show just recalling, saying, you know, I've waited 2 years to have this conversation to ask you some of these questions, right? So that was 2 years ago. And you were immediately without a moment when the host asked you, what advice would you give? You said, save more, save your money, right?
Yes.
Now, having been a few years at the major airline, Nick's upgraded, right? What would you tell someone who is currently making those sacrifices now? What hope would you give them? Hey, if you could just make those sacrifices, here's what you could expect in a couple of years.
Wallpaper. You can expect beautiful wallpaper in your foyer. No, seriously, I think even when you have money, when you don't have money, so much of life is practicing holding things loosely. And so we say this all the time, money comes and money goes, and it's great when you have it. It's great if you want to go, I don't know what I want to do. Get a pedicure. I don't want to sit and get a pedicure right now. But, you know, it's great to have the option. That is great. It's great if it's been a hard day or, you know, whatever. It's great to have the option to get takeout. It's great. And it's not everything. But it's still not everything. And so I would say if you are in the hard season and you are persevering well, you are still laying the foundation for all the things that really do matter. And truly, I think it's harder, but so much more valuable to give your kid on their birthday, to give them a coupon to go just with you and do whatever they want to do. You know, like if they want to go ride go-karts or they want to go ride a horse or they want to, you know, whatever. It's easy to go on Amazon and type in best gifts for a 7-year-old. You know, like that's easy. It's easy to spend $300 on birthday gifts. That's easy. The harder thing is what can I give them that costs almost nothing? You know, really, it's your time, right? It's your time. And that's what they want. That's what they want. And so I think if you're persevering well, then it would just teach you so much for 4 years down the road. And God help us remember, you know, like, please just help us remember what that was like, because it's easy to forget once you have money. But yeah, I would just say persevere, and it's, you know, it's worth it.
Well, so I guess something that I was not expecting. What hope would you give to somebody who is sacrificing and making those sacrifices? And your answer was not that, hey, it gets better. It was not that, hey, hang on the sacrifice because the sacrifice is worth it because what comes out on the other end. It was pretty much persevere well because that is shaping who you will be tomorrow.
Oh, sure.
I was just having a conversation with a friend of mine, a dear, dear friend. And we were talking about the fear of not succeeding. And I brought up that fact earlier that I've made it. I've done, you know, quote unquote, made it. I'm the captain at the airline. And then I said, you know, but what if I don't pass this or don't pass that? And he said, what if you don't? What if you don't? What is the worst thing that happens because of that? And I walked through the whole thing. I said, well, we sell our house. We move the kid. We find a town, but I would get a job doing something else. And that's the beauty of being an airline pilot is you can go do something else. That thing is out there and you're going to be okay. You'll be just fine. And that's a good thing. When you do have the opportunity to be in this world where the money comes at you more than you deserve, honestly, more than you deserve, take advantage of making it work for you for the future because it doesn't last.
You were talking about those guys, I can remember people coming through the RV park who were those airline pilots who were on furlough for a long time after 9/11. And, you know, that's something sort of unique about a pilot's career is sort of the instability of the entire industry. I mean, honestly, like I would still say to any pilot, when no matter if you're in, you know, regionals or save, right? Because you don't know. You don't know. And the scary part is, right, like if you're used to that higher standard of living and you have all these wants that you've turned into requirements and then the money goes away, it's a tricky thing, right? And so, yeah, that's still save. I'd say that, still save.
Save and plan well.
That's right.
Call Tim.
And then be flexible.
I do want to say this. This is interesting. I felt like I've been reflecting on this a lot, and you're going to think I'm a fool for bringing this up, but in the mid-2000s, John Mayer did a video where he played in Los Angeles live, and they follow him around, and he's on stage by himself, and he talks about, you know, I've made a lot of money doing what I do. I've made all the money. I've bought all the things. I've had it. I've had every penny that there is to have. And I realize there's nothing in it. I realize that none of the things that I bought satisfy me. None of the things that I've purchased are worth it. But he's like, now that I'm 35, wise old age of 35, like he understands what he needs, and that's love. And he goes into the song Bold as Love, which is a fantastic version of the song. But I want to, like, all the things that we're talking about are so important for your stability and your peace of mind. But if you're doing this without the love ahead of time, Anna and I have to love one another enough to say no, that we don't need to spend this money, but we also have to love each other enough to say, yes, we do need to save this money. And it's easy not to do. It's easy to just kind of ride the train and keep things going. And I think when I turned 45, like, I had this big realization, like, yo, like, times are running short. I got 20 years left. And when I turn 65, if 67 doesn't happen, when I turn 65, I will still have a senior in high school. And so that's, or pretty close to, I guess he'll be a sophomore in college. I can't do math, but that's a big deal. I don't get the chance to retire and just play with my grandkids and all that. Like, my kids are going to be in that early stage of, like, meeting people and stuff like that and figuring out their vocations. Yeah, there's a lot to it. So go into it smart, but go into it with love. And that's a difference maker, really. That's what I think.
That's a great observation, Nick. I don't know how to follow that up. I mean, really, here in the practice, we say that, we want to help professional pilots make the most out of life with great financial outcomes, right? We understand the finances can be the bedrock. They can be the foundation. But the stuff that you just talked about, we can't help you. We can help take away the money stress. We can help that you know you're doing it right. You know you're going in with eyes wide open. But if we can take that away and you can focus on the things that matter most, the people who matter most to you, the causes that matter most to you, that I think that we've done our small part.
I want to interrupt that, though, because you care. Like, that's what I love about you. You sponsor my podcast, but we talk on the phone all the time because you care. And I love your family and you love my family. I love to watch your boy flying and I love to see you guys at the zoo. I love the human, like, we've only been in the same room twice, right? But we have this great connection. And I, like, I'm so thankful for that. And so that's why it's easy for me to sit here with my wife on your show, is because I know how good of a man you are, how good of a father, and how good of a husband, and how good of a financial planner you are. And that's important. I don't do any other financial planning shows. You're awesome. Keep it up.
Nick, that's a mic drop moment. Thank you. I should just close out and finish the show right here. I really appreciate that. But look, the sentiments are mutual, 100%, 100% mutual. And so I appreciate you sharing those things.
Well, guys, this has been great. It's been worth the wait. So Nick Fialka from Ready for Pushback, Anna Fialka, this has been such a real treat. And I know the listeners are going to value you guys' experience. You guys is just being just very transparent about what you went through, right? How you think and how you work through things as a family. Thank you guys for coming on the show.
Thanks for having us.
I'm so thankful for you, Tim, and I'm thankful for this show. We just wish you blessings that it grows and that the people that need to hear it do hear it.
And that brings us to the debrief section. Now, if you've been following along in the previous episodes, this section used to be called the analysis section. But a listener of the show, a client of the practice, 777FO, Brad, reached out and said, hey, I love the show. I love the analysis section. But what do you think about naming it the debrief section? As pilots, we debrief all the time. Everybody knows what that means. And I think it would extend the theme of the show. And so that's a great idea. So the debrief section was born. So Brad, shout out to you. Thank you for the idea. So the first thing I want you to think about is bring cash to your major life transitions. We started the show talking about Nick transitioning from selling the RV park and going to the regionals. And we heard Anna, her biggest advice was save a couple years of cash. And the reason is whenever you have a major life transition, in most of the cases, there's also a decent amount of uncertainty as well. And so cash, what it does is it gives you options, okay? If you're expecting a big income drop because you're going from military to airlines or from business aviation to airlines, you've got that cash to extend your runway during those lean months. Maybe you're looking at doing your first real estate deal and there's a bit of uncertainty around it. And so you bring more cash. You know, you don't want to leverage to the hilt to give yourself some more options. So there's a lot of reasons in life. Maybe you're buying your first home and instead of taking the maximum amount that the lender will give you because they will give you more than what may be great for you at that time. Instead of taking the maximum amount, maybe you bring cash to the table for a down payment as you go through that transition. So number one, cash is your friend as you go through major transitions. The second thing I want you to think about is it's okay to throttle back. There was a point in the conversation where Nick remembered being at Envoy and giving up a 6% match on his 401k. And he said, man, that hurt. And I tell you, it does hurt, especially if you have really exercised yourself in the saving and investing muscle. And you look at that, you say on paper, man, I'm giving up free money, right? There's no other investment in the world that I can show up. I can put in 6% and I automatically get 6%. That's 100% return, right? So during that time when he was at Envoy, the name of the game was to use all the cash for the daily living expenses. And so it's okay to throttle back. If you recall when you were training, your primary flight training, your instructor may have told you, hey, when you hit a rough patch of air, you throttle back. And I'm sure that's what you guys do all the time for your passengers. You hit a rough patch of air and you just throttle back for a smoother ride. And if the season of life that you're in calls to throttle back, do it. It's okay to do that. And when that season is passed, then you will crank back up your savings and your investing. The third thing that I want you to think about is that life is messy and you may not see the immediate results of your good habits right away. And so you tune in the show, right? 2 times a month, you get to hear about financial planning strategy. You get to hear topics, reducing your tax burden, where the contribution limits are, what the value of your career is in the future. We'll be talking about insurance and estate planning and so on. And so you tune in, you listen for 20 minutes or less, is most of the time. This episode's a little longer. And then you store that in your brain and you say, okay, am I doing those things? Should I be doing those things? How should I be implementing that? And sometimes you are so focused with just getting through life that your financial planning takes a back seat or you're not getting the progress that you want or you should. And so point number three is that life is messy. As long as you maintain some really strong habits, like, hey, you know what? I want to be allergic to paying credit card interest. I don't pay credit card interest. That's one of the things that we heard in today's conversation. I want to have the intellectual honesty and emotional honesty, maybe to buy things when I can afford them. That's also another great habit. So if you maintain those, you will get through the messy seasons of life. You will get through the uncertain and messy transitions in life, and you will come out on the other side, right? And you will be well on your way to pursuing your financial goals. And so, you know, life is messy, but just stay focused, stay the course, and maintain those strong and positive habits, and you'll get there. The last thing that I want you to think about, and this is number four, this is a bonus round. So those of you that know that in this section, usually we finish with three, this is a bonus topic here. And the reason I want you to think about it is because both Nick and Anna brought this up, and I agree with it wholeheartedly, 100%, full stop. And here's what it is. Our mission when it comes to financial planning, it's to help professional pilots make the most out of life with great financial outcomes, right? So that's our mission. We want to help you plan well. We want to help you live well. We want to help take the financial stress off the table. Now, that being said, there's a whole lot more to life than financial stability and financial success. And without tapping into that, we can do all the right things. We can dot all the I's and cross all the T's, and we can have as much success as we want, but we can still come up feeling short, okay? And so I want you to think about that, that there's more to life than financial success. And so that, ladies and gentlemen, is going to wrap up this episode. Thanks for following along. Thanks for sticking with us till the end. We look forward to the next episode where I'm going to tell you how I manage my own emotional spending, and I'd love to hear how you manage yours. Thank you for joining this episode of the Pilot Money Podcast. If you found this information helpful, spread the word and share it with a pilot buddy. Or if you have questions and there's something that you would like to hear discussed on the show, send us an email at pilotmoneypodcast@ceterainvestors.com. That's C-E-T-E-R-A investors.com. For those of you who are ready to learn how we help professional pilots with their financial planning needs, schedule an appointment. The link is in the show notes. Until next time, keep the shiny side up, and we'll see you on the next episode.
Timothy Pope is a certified financial planner offering securities and insurance products offered through Cetera Investment Services, LLC, member FINRA, SIPC. Advisory services are offered through Cetera Investment Advisors, LLC. Tim's branch office is located at 5277 Center Drive, Suite 330, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28217. Branch phone number 704-717-8900. The views depicted in this material are for information purposes only and are not necessarily those of Cetera Investment Advisors. This podcast is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information on the subjects covered. It is not, however, intended to provide specific legal, tax, or other professional advice. For specific professional assistance, the services of an appropriate professional should be sought.